Good day, and welcome to Families USA's media telebriefing. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Sean Grimminger, Senior Director of Federal Relations at Families USA. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Shelby. And I'm Sean Grimminger, Senior Director of Federal Relations here at Families USA, and I very much appreciate all of you joining us today for this groundbreaking report. The speakers will discuss Families USA's report called A Case for Solidarity, Common Challenges Involving Health and Healthcare in the United States. With us today, and in the speaking order, we have Frederick Asazi, Executive Director at Families USA, Stan Dorn, our Senior Fellow, and lead author of the report, and Cincy Hernandez-Cantio, Director of Health Equity here at Families. After the presentations, the speakers and Dr. Nicole Novak, the researcher who analyzed the data presented in this report, will be available for a Q&A session. And at the end, we will have final thoughts from Stan. Before I start, I'd like to let members of the media know that this call is being recorded, and we will be able to circulate it to you later today. So without further ado, let me introduce Frederick Asazi, Executive Director at Families USA. Frederick?
Hi, Sean. Thanks so much. It's great to have everybody on the call. As you know, Families USA is one of the oldest and most well-known nonprofits dedicated to ensuring that the best health and health care are equally accessible and affordable to all in our nation. It's a true pleasure to welcome you to this morning's teleconference. Issues of race, ethnicity, class, gender, geography, whether you live in rural or urban parts of the nation, increasingly dominate the public conversation. Of late, this national dialogue has become extraordinarily divisive, pitting communities against each other, creating a sense that we don't have shared struggles or common interests. Nowhere has this been more in the public's attention over the last 2 years, the focus of congressional action and action on the federal and state level, than in regards to health and health care. In fact, polls clearly indicate that the number one issue this fall for voters across the political spectrum is the question of whether their elected leaders truly are working to ensure that they have a chance to receive high-quality and affordable health care. Here at Families, we decided to use comprehensive data sources and original expert analysis to examine this national question and debate. Stan Dorn, a senior fellow here at Families USA and a true national leader in healthcare coverage and analysis for many decades, led this project. He and his team examined 20 years of data to ask the question, what are the most salient patterns in healthcare needs across demographics, across race, ethnicity, gender, and geography? To begin with, and very importantly, the research and report reinforced that there is a continuing set of racial and ethnic disparities that create really significant and longstanding barriers to the ability of people of color to live healthy lives and afford the health care they need. The report reinforces that addressing these issues must be a top national priority, and it is a very central focus of our work here at Families USA. Stan and his team also surfaced a really important new set of insights. They found some very clear common challenges that families experience across demographics, whether you are white, black, or Latin, whether you live in rural or urban America. This groundbreaking report finds that millions of working-class women in our nation are in serious trouble. No matter your race, ethnicity, or geography, if you are a working-class woman, you are much more likely to experience serious physical and mental health problems. You also are much more likely to struggle to afford the care that you need. Even more troubling, our analysis shows that these health problems facing working-class women have grown rapidly worse in recent decades. This clearly signals a major breakdown in U.S. public policy. It's time for our elected officials and policy leaders to pay a lot more attention to the needs of working-class women of all races and ethnicities, wherever they may live. With that very brief overview, let me turn over to Stan Dorn to discuss the findings in more detail.
Thanks so much, Frederick. Thank you very much, Sean. We wanted to take a look at how health and healthcare are affected by race, ethnicity, gender, class, and other demographic factors. But we thought it was important not to look at single demographic characteristics in silos. It no longer fits who we are as a diverse country. To compare, for example, the average woman versus the average man is going to miss a lot of important information about what happens when gender intersects with race, class, other factors. So we looked at 20 years of data from the National Behavioral Risk
factor surveillance system. And I wanted to thank Dr. Nicole Novak for doing the hard work to pull this information together. And as Frederick indicated, it was not a surprise to find the continuing impact of race and ethnicities on health status. For example, what we found was that in some cases, that impact is more powerful than the effects of class. So, for example, if you are a child of African-American parents with a college degree, you are 30% more likely to have asthma than a child of white parents whose education never went beyond high school. That was startling, but it fit with what we generally understood. What came as news was the impact of what happens at the intersection of class and gender. We made some discoveries that I have never seen before in any of the published literature. It turns out that working class women, women with no more than a high school education, are 3.5 times more likely than college educated men to experience poor health for at least 2 weeks out of the month. For example, nearly 1 out of every 5 working class women, 19%, experience 2 weeks or more of poor mental health per month compared to just 1 in 18 college-educated men. That gap, that really stark gap, grew rapidly in recent decades. Over the course of less than 15 years, the gulf between the poor health experienced by working-class women and the much better health enjoyed by the majority of college-educated men grew by more than a third in less than 15 years. And these trends apply across lines of race, ethnicity, and place. For among white families and African American families, for example, we found that compared to college educated men of the same race and ethnicity, working class women were more than 3 times as likely to experience poor physical health for at least 2 weeks a month. And in Latino households, working class women were more than twice as likely compared to college educated men who are also Latinos to experience prolonged poor physical health. Now, once the Affordable Care Act's main coverage provisions took effect, we saw some small improvements for working class men, working class women, people of color. The incidence of serious physical and mental health problems began to decline. And this is important because for more than a generation, we have seen nothing but constant increases in the rate of those problems. So it's an important change in direction, but it's small in magnitude. The disparities that remain are enormous, and they continue to be far above what they were just 15 years ago. The take-home message is clear. We know from a lot of research that's been done that life conditions, social and economic factors, have a much more powerful effect on health status than your access to medical care. Though medical care is critically important, as evidenced by the benefits of implementing the Affordable Care Act. So the factors, the social and economic factors of life that can affect health include working conditions, life stress, financial difficulties, discrimination, harassment, and the fact that the problems of working class women continue and have grown substantially and rapidly tells us that United States policymakers have not paid sufficient attention to the everyday needs of working class women in this country, whether they are white, Latino, African American, whether they live in the city, whether they live in the country. The data have a voice in this case, and the voice is saying with great clarity, it's time for policymakers to pay more attention to the needs of working class women. And now I'm going to turn that over to Cincy, our director of health equity, who's going to try to put the report in context and who was extremely helpful in shaping the report that we're releasing today.
Hi, good morning to everyone. Thank you, Stan. As Stan was saying, our country is becoming increasingly diverse. Yet we're clinging to this outmoded, oversimplified, and inaccurate ideas of who we are as a nation and the communities that comprise us, often in very polarized and unhelpful constructs. We have one picture of rural working class America that doesn't account for the fact that people of color comprise 47% of working class adults, or the finding in our report that fewer than 1 in 8 working class adults are white people living in rural areas. We overlook the differences between the experience of women and men as well, and assume that everyone fits into these categories. At the same time, we struggle with understanding that even when people of color face greater odds of encountering particular challenges, it is white people that represent the majority of those affected, mostly because most U.S. residents are white. In rural areas, for example, 1 out of every 8 white people forego seeing a doctor because of cost, compared to 1 in 5 African Americans, and 1 in 4 Latinos. But even so, 72% of people in rural areas who face this barrier are white, simply because most rural residents are white. So it's no surprise that today's report reaffirms the persistence of serious racial and ethnic health inequities. The causes for the inequities are multifactorial and can't be reduced to income, education, or social class. It is also not surprising that there are important health inequities based on gender. In every racial and ethnic group, at every educational level, women are more likely than men to experience serious problems with both their physical health and their mental health. But what is really new and interesting in this report is surfacing how race, ethnicity, and gender intersect with class, or in other words, educational attainment. More broadly, this report shines a light on a much larger, very troubling reality. Public policies are failing women, especially if they're working class or from communities of color. This means that efforts to divide working class families from working class people of color are actually attempts to divert us from working together to address common challenges, and we can't afford right now to fall for that. The basic reality is this. Any one of us, regardless of race, class, or gender, can experience serious health problems or struggle with a healthcare system that fails to address some of our most important needs. Every family knows what it's like when a loved one gets a terrifying diagnosis, or when doctors, hospitals, insurance companies, or just basic lack of money prevent us from getting the care we need. We must seek and implement broad systemic solutions to fix some of the fundamental failings in our healthcare system. At the same time, given our increasingly diverse nation and the stubborn persistence of racial and ethnic and gender disparities, we must also develop and deploy policies tailored to addressing those inequities so we can build a nation where all can thrive. It's not about doing one or another. It's about doing both. Thanks to today's report, we now know more about the health challenges that face working-class women, highlighting the need for policymakers to finally tackle the long-neglected needs of working-class women across the lines of race, ethnicity, and geography. The bottom line is that every community, every family in our country has luckily dealt with deeply personal struggles with health and health care. As rhetoric ratchets up in intensity, one basic question becomes more and more important to answer. Are we really all in this together? Or will we be diverted from solving our common problems pitted against each other along racial, ethnic, class, geographic, and other lines? Or will we step up and join forces to overcome the challenges so many of us share, strengthening our country so that all benefit and addressing unmet human needs we do that wherever they are found.
Thank you so much, Stency. At this point, I'm going to turn the call back to Shelby, our operator, who will give you instructions on how to ask questions.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
And as we wait to assemble a queue, I want to just give everyone a heads up. If you have not already, don't already have our press release in your inbox, you can email press@familiesusa.org, and we will promptly send you the press release so that you have it.
We do have one question.
Go ahead.
Caller, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Lori from Telemundo Network. My question is for Cincy, and I wanted to know if she could give us a better idea of how Latina women are faring in all of the issues that have to do with health care and mental health, and what's the biggest challenge for them, please.
Yes, thank you, Lori, so much for that question. You know, this report reinforced the fact that race and ethnicity have an independent effect on health and access to health care, regardless of, you know, your educational status, but also it shows that being a working-class woman who is Latina also poses another layer of kind of very, very challenging barriers to being able to get access to care. As far as the findings of this report, they really did reinforce what we, you know, in our community have known for a long time. in addition to that, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you afterwards about other challenges, but I think right now one of the biggest challenges that we have that's very urgent that's going to affect Latinas and Latina families is has to do with administrative action around public charge, but that's a whole other conversation that might be of interest to you.
Yeah, just to chime in on what, building on what Cincy said, I'll give you a couple findings from the report that are specific to the Latino community. The trends that we observed for whites and for African Americans apply for Latinos as well in terms of the harms experienced by working class women. So working class Latinas, for example, 14% of them experience poor physical health for at least 2 weeks out of the month. And if you look at college-educated Latino men, 6% of them experience poor physical health for at least 2 weeks per month. Now, that finding actually underestimates the disadvantages that working-class Latina women experience, because as we know, there's a lot of research that shows that if you're an immigrant, you're healthier on average than if you're born in the United States. And working-class Latinos, whether men or women, have a higher rate of being immigrants than is the case for other groups. So if we were to do an apples-to-apples comparison, looking at people born in the United States who are Latino, no doubt the disparity between working-class women and college-educated men would be even greater than that very troubling 2-to-1 ratio that I just mentioned. The other thing I wanted to point out is about inability to afford health care. I didn't spend much time talking about that a moment or two ago, but it applies across the board. Latinos, African-Americans, whites, if you are a working-class woman, you are much more likely to not take the health care that you need because of cost. So if you look at the percentage of people who went without physician visits because of cost, if you look at Latinos who live in a city, for example, 14% of working-class Latino women, Latinas in the city, went without physician visits because of cost in the most recent years for which we have data, compared to 6% of college-educated Latino men who live in the city. So that's more than a 2-to-1 ratio. So whether we're talking about health status or whether we're talking about access to health care, Latinos in general experience barriers that aren't encountered by others, but working-class women in particular face serious challenges.
Caller, do you have any follow-up questions? All right.
Again,
Shelby, do we have you? Oh, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is up. Caller, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jennifer Henderson from Crane's New York Business. I wanted to follow up on a stat that was mentioned earlier about working-class women 3.5 times more likely than college-educated men to experience poor health, 2 weeks or so of the month. And I think there was reference to mental health as well. And so I wanted to see if there are any sort of, factors that you might be able to elaborate on that are contributing to that particular statistic.
Yeah. So it applies both to mental health and to physical health, that same story, that working-class women are more than 3.5 times as likely as college-educated men to experience poor health at least 2 weeks out of the month. In this report, we did not look at causation. We just wanted to look at what are the facts about the prevalence of health problems and financial difficulty affording health care. And we were really shocked to find the impact on working-class women. As I said, that hasn't been explored elsewhere. So we're not in a position to tell you definitively what the causes are. What we do know is that there's a lot of research that's been done that says that, in general, health status is affected more by the daily conditions of life than it is by your access to health care. What happens to you on the job? What happens to you when you walk down the street? What happens to you and your family? All of those things really profoundly impact health. So I think it's reasonable to say that it's the social and economic factors that face working class women that create serious impediments to their health and well-being, and that policymakers need to address. As I said, we're not able to say, is it about, you know, the fact that women tend to work a double shift compared to men? Is it about harassment on the job? Is it about, you know, I can't tell you what exactly the factors are, but we just know from the research that it's highly, highly likely that the main cause is what happens in your everyday life. What are your social and economic conditions and challenges that you face?
Right.
Our next
question. Look, we're hoping this is going to launch other research. This is a new finding. And, you know, there's an army of brilliant academics like Nicole Novak who did this work, who I'm hoping will be unleashed to help us understand. But what the bottom line is, what we hear today, what we know today is that there is a really serious set of problems that working class women in America face that policymakers have been ignoring for far too long.
We will now take
Thank
our next question. Caller, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Allison Jacobson from the Safety Mom blog. A question about Latino women going without health care. Does that also extend to prenatal care when they're pregnant? Did you look at the difference between women who are pregnant versus women who are not pregnant and how that affects the prenatal care?
No, we did not look at that in this report. We looked at how many people went without a necessary physician visit because of cost. And it was just really shocking that more than one in four working class women says, you know, I knew I needed to go to the doctor and I couldn't do it because I couldn't afford it. That is a real problem. But we did not dig down deeper and say, you know, what about prenatal care? What about, you know, other kinds of visits? We were just, in this case, we were looking at one key indicator of access.
Thanks.
There are no more questions in the queue at this time.
Why don't we go to Stan for some closing remarks, and then we'll see if we have any other additional questions after that.
All right. Thanks very much, Sean. And we really are grateful to you all for joining us today. In this research project, we wanted to take a look at what happens at the intersection of race, ethnicity, class, gender, and residence. And we found some things that were not surprising. It was not surprising for us to see that people of color experience key public health problems at a rate that far exceeds that experienced by white families. I gave the example of asthmatic children. Another example is older adults with diabetes. If you are a college-educated African American, you are more likely to have diabetes than if you are a white person with no more than a high school education. But that said, we also found something startling and new that we have never seen before in the literature, namely the fact that when gender and class intersect, and you are a working class woman, you are much more likely, 3.5 times as likely, to experience prolonged, serious physical and mental health problems compared to college-educated men. This applied in the city. It applied in the country. Whether you're Latino, whether you're white, whether you're African-American, if you're a working-class woman in this country, you have a much higher chance of experiencing serious health problems and a much higher chance of going without the health care that you know you need for nothing other than cost. And what this signals, the fact that this problem is large, the fact that it has grown rapidly over the course of the past 15 years, tells us that U.S. public policy is failing the needs of working women. Policymakers have not been hearing the voices of working class women, and we hope that this report and the attention that you all are bringing to it by your joining us today in the call will help sound the alarm and encourage policymakers to start paying the attention to working class women that those women desperately need.
Thank you very much, Stan. And I just want to remind folks, if you don't have our press statement in your inbox, you can email press@familiesusa.org, or you can go to our website, familiesusa.org. The full report, brief version of the report, a great video with Stan and Cincy are all available on our website, so you can certainly check it out and see everything that we have there. Last opportunity, operator, do we have any other questions?
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no questions in the queue at this time.
Very good. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Let us know if you have any questions. We look forward to talking to you later. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.